We have been in this study talking about this question, what is church? Okay? We began in talking about the idea that there's an awful lot of confusion out there in the world about church and what it is and so forth. There's a lot of people who simply just don't understand what church is and what it's for and so forth. They don't know what it is. They don't know what the church does. Okay? And so, they also don't know why the church is so important. All right? There's a lot of people, we've been saying all along, who just don't want to be part of a church. Okay? Those people that fall into that group and say, I don't like organized religion. I don't want to be a part of any of that. I can worship God on my own. I can go to a mountaintop or out on my boat on the lake or whatever the case may be. I don't need to be in church to worship God. I don't like organized religion, okay? And as I've said before, I just tell people, you'd be real comfortable in our church because we are unorganized as can be, okay? So you don't have to worry about that part of it. There are those folks their excuse a lot of times is, well, I don't mind church, but I don't like the people because the churches are just full of hypocrites. I don't want to be a part of that, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of people who just simply don't want to go to church. They don't want to be a part of any of that, okay? They would say things like this, I believe in God, but I don't need church to be able to worship God. I love Jesus, but I don't go to church. That kind of thing. Well, what we're trying to do in this study is to look at what does the Bible say about the church, so that we make sure we get a proper understanding from God's perspective on what the church is, rather than our own, okay? Because there's a whole lot of mis and disinformation out there about the church, okay? What it is, what it's for, okay? And then also a lot of it as to why we should be a part of the church. A lot of misinformation about that, okay? When we truly understand what the church is, then we will know for sure that we simply cannot be a part of Christ and not be part of his church. Amen. The two cannot be separated.
That's right.
Okay? And as we've said all along, we are the church, okay? The body of Christ. It's part of our study we've been doing. So if we're going to be part of Christ, we've got to be part of a church. It's not a matter of going to church somewhere. It's a matter of being the church that belongs to Christ. So what is the church? In our study thus far, what we have seen is we began by talking about the word that is used in the New Testament for church is ecclesia. And it literally means the called ones or the called out ones. Okay? We talked about the church as being the kingdom, okay, or being part of the kingdom of God, right? We also talked about the church as the bride of Christ. And then last week, we spent our time talking about and understanding the church as the body of Christ. So in all of those lessons, what we've been doing there is trying to focus on an understanding of what the church really is, okay? This morning, we're going to talk about joining the church. How do I get into this thing? Okay, if I want to be a part of the bride of Christ or the body of Christ, I want to enter into the kingdom, how do I join the church? So we're going to talk about that this morning. As some of you are already on your face going, what do you mean join the church? Okay, we're going to talk about that, okay? Probably, I don't see them quite as much anymore. Used to see you'd enter into a town, especially, you know, on a small town somewhere, you're driving across the country, you enter into a small town, there was oftentimes a sign that looked something like this. It said, join or attend the church of your choice, okay? And all kinds of advertisements and things of that nature that would encourage families to do the same thing. Attend the church of your choice. All right? There are a lot of false teachers out there, as we talked about, and the Bible tells us very plainly, okay? Billy Graham, one of his things was, join the church of your choice and glorify God. Okay? But what about that idea of, first of all, joining the church And then secondly, joining the church of your choice. Okay? What about that? Here's another thought on this and why that idea of joining the church of your choice is really dangerous. Okay? Look at some of these things that folks that say that. Join the church of your choice, one that will let you pick which assemblies truly matter. Okay? Or one that does not nag you about how you live your life. Or how about one that is there for you every time you want them to be? Or how about one that accepts you just as you are without any changes? Join the church of your choice, but find the one that makes you comfortable. I've talked with so many people over the years talking about church and being a part of a church and say, well, I just haven't found one where I'm comfortable yet. Okay? Well, you know, in our study thus far, and we've got this lesson this morning, we're going to finish this series next week, and I promise you, you will not see anything from the scriptures that talk about us choosing a church based on our comfort. Okay?
Amen.
And when I hear people say that, I say my response generally is, how comfortable do you think Jesus was hanging on that cross for your sins and dying for the church?
Yes.
Because we've seen in our study that's exactly what he did. You see? So going to and picking a church, attending a church, should not be a matter of our comfort. It should be a matter of us serving Christ. All right? There are all those different creeds and doctrines and so forth that people have come up with, churches, denominations have come up with, okay? There are those confessions of faith that many have put out there and said, if you want to be part of this church, you've got to agree to these particular things. Now, you know, on its face, I would say to you, you know, that's not a bad philosophy. Okay? Everybody, do I have everybody's attention? You're going, wait a minute, Russ, you're going too far. As long as what you're saying we all have to agree with is the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? And not some man-made creeds or doctrines that people have put together that contradict what the Bible teaches. All right? So yes, we need to believe those things, but we need to make sure that those things are what the Bible teaches and not something that man has put together, okay? Someone said, beware of those Christians, okay, whose faith is based on their own ideas and feelings and what they think is right and not on God's Word. Beware of those folks. And there's a lot of folks out there like that. You say, it's based on their feelings, what they like and what they want. This isn't a matter of our feelings. This is a matter of Christ and His church, as we said in our study previously. The church belongs to Him.
That's right.
He's the head of the church, right? As we've seen in our study. So He gets to decide what's right and what's not. Not us. Okay? Thomas Jefferson made this statement. Christian creeds and doctrines, the clergy's own fatal inventions, through all the ages has made of Christendom a slaughterhouse and divided it into sects of inextinguishable hatred for one another.
Well,
you know, and I agree with him. That's what happens with denominationalism and all of the things that people have introduced into the church, the teachings, and so forth. So, we ask this question, why should I join the church? Okay? I know some of you are kind of like, wait a minute, Russ, I'm going to join the church. Bear with me, okay? Bear with me. Okay? Some people choose to be part of a church and some people don't. Okay? And as we've already seen in our study, we've talked about the idea of you can't be a part of Christ and not be a part of His church. Okay? Right. If you're a part of Christ, you're part of His body. Thus, you are part of the church. So you cannot separate those from one another, okay? There isn't but one body, as we've seen, one church, right? Okay? In our study previously, we looked at this passage. Therefore, Paul says, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of how many bodies?
One
body. Okay? So, whoops, this idea of one, that it's like one tree and all these different branches of one tree, and all the different branches represent all these different churches and denominations and so forth. No. No, there's not but one body.
Amen.
You say, just one body.
That's right.
And Christ is the head of that body.
Yes.
You say, when we start introducing all kinds of man-made doctrines, then we get, the result is all these different things. And people feel secure in that, yeah, join the church of your choice. Because it really doesn't matter. Well, it does matter as to whether you are following the doctrines of Christ or you're following the doctrines and teachings of man somewhere.
Well.
Okay? Because Jesus said, as he talked to Peter, we saw this in the early part, the first part of our study, he said, I will build whose church?
My
church. Okay? My church. Not, you know, our church, your church. It's Jesus' church. It belongs to him. He's the only one who died for the church.
Amen.
So he's the only one who gets to decide what the church is and what it does and what it believes and what it follows and so forth. Because it is his church. Okay? Let's talk about addition and subtraction for just a moment. Okay? What do I mean by that? Well, we need to understand this idea of getting into the church. Okay? I've been saying joining the church. Okay? How does one get into the church, or how does one join the church, so to speak? All right. Well, we don't really join the church. I'll talk about that more in just a moment. But it's not really a matter of joining the church. According to the scriptures, what happens is people are added to the church. Look at in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the church first began. All right. Peter spoke on that day. There were many in that crowd that listened to him. Thousands upon thousands of people. Okay? And when Peter was finished, they asked, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? It says, those, in verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 out of that crowd, 3,000 were added to their number that day.
Amen.
All right? We go over to verse 4 of chapter 4. Okay? Many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Now, that's not including women and children. That's men, okay? The church had grown to about 5,000. All right? But they are still referred to as the number of folks, okay? In Acts chapter 5 and verse 11, in the story of Ananias and Sapphira and their sin against the Holy Spirit, okay? The result of that, verse 11, we read, and great fear came upon the whole church and upon all that heard these things. This is the very first occurrence of the description or the name of the church that's used in the New Testament. Okay? So from here out, it is understood and referred to as the church. All right? In chapter 5 and verse 14, all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. So the church is continuing to grow. But notice, the way that people are getting into the church is what? They are being added to those that are already part of the church. All right? In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, there it is again, there's more and more people, right? Became a problem within the church. The problem was that the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the church was growing tremendously. More and more people's souls were being added to the church, such that it had become this problem that's going on between them, where folks were being neglected. And we see there, as we continue reading on in that, that the apostles came up with a solution, and that solution pleased the whole church. And I've oftentimes said before, that's probably the only time in history that the whole church has been pleased. They all agreed, right? In chapter 6 and verse 7, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Okay? And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So we see this ongoing, people being added. They're hearing the message and they're being added to the church. We saw in Acts chapter 2 where the thing that was done there was 3,000 peoples were baptized that day and were added to the number, okay? So, let's talk about this idea of joining the church, okay? The idea that a lot of people have of that is one where, okay, where do I sign up? Where do I pay my membership fee? And that kind of a thing. I had a couple in my office, this has been several years ago now, they came in, we were doing some premarital counseling, and he was a Christian, but she was not. But she was real close, and they'd been studying, and she was ready to, and so she said to me in that first meeting we had, she said, "Well, I want to join your church." And of course, I knew what she meant, but I looked straight at her and I said, "You can't. You can't join the church." And she got this look on her face like, "Why not? What's wrong with me that I can't join your church?" And I said, "Well, first of all, it's not my church, okay? And secondly, the church is not something you join. The church is something you are added to when you are saved."
Amen.
According to what the Bible teaches. You say, one is added to the number of those who are already saved.
Amen.
When that person gives their life to Christ, and they are saved, they're added to the number. It's not a matter of joining and signing up, you say. So we cannot join the church like it's some kind of a club or something, okay? Another important part of this addition and subtraction we need to understand is, let's talk about the subtraction part, okay? Because there are a lot of folks out here who in this whole issue of falling away from God or subtracting from the number is really kind of how I'm using that, okay? We'll say, once you are saved, you are always saved. And you cannot fall away from God. Well, is that true or is it not true? Let's look at what does the Bible have to say. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says there, look at this, the Spirit clearly says, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but when the Spirit says something, I'm going to listen to the Spirit over any man, okay? All right? And Paul says here, the Spirit clearly says this, all right? There are a lot of people out here saying you can't fall away from God once you've been saved. Well, excuse me, but the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith.
Well.
Okay? And they will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. The Spirit says that. Okay? So can there be subtraction from those who had previously been added? Yes, there can. Addition and subtraction. All right? In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, the writer of Hebrews there gives us warning. He says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart," and look at this, "turns away from the living God." Now, again, keep in mind, he's writing this to Christians, people who already are added to the church, people that belong to Christ. He's a warning here, "See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away." Well, if you can't fall away, why give a warning like that? Why even bother if you can't fall away? You see? And in chapter 6, he says this, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's important we understand this, because those oftentimes who say, well, you can't fall away from God, will say, well, if they fell away, they weren't really Christians to begin with. Okay? You know, that sounds to me right there like these are people who, I mean, look, they were once enlightened. They've tasted the heavenly gift. They're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. How much more added can you be than that? You say? So he's not talking about people who never really gave themselves to the Lord to begin with. He's talking about people who did these things. And look at what he says. If they fall away, remember he said it's impossible. If they fall away to be brought back to repentance, why? Because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Again, why give a warning like that if you can't fall away? Nobody can fall away. Why even say that? You see? In 2 Peter 2, verses 20 and 22, I'm going to need to turn around here to look at it because I can't really read it very well off of there with all that yellow highlighting. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, again, does that sound like someone who believes in the Lord and has accepted Christ and is part of his church? Yes. Okay? If after that they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
Yeah.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. They'd have been better off never knowing the truth and accepting it rather than to turn away from it.
Well,
you see, so we, again, just this understanding of adding and subtracting, that we are added to the church when we accept Christ, but we need to understand, and we need to help other people understand, that if you're not faithful to God, you can be subtracted from it. You see? So that's why I refer to this part of it as addition and subtraction.
Yeah.
All right? Finally, let's take a look at becoming part of the body. That's really what we're talking about. We said joining the church, okay? We've already said we can't join the church. We're added to the church. Well, how does that happen? Okay? How does one become part of the body of Christ? All right? Let's take a look at, again, what does the Scriptures teach us? We need to understand. And I mentioned this a few moments ago. The church is not a social club where people just kind of, you know, we vote on them. There are some churches that do this, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be part of their church, then, you know, they meet and, you know, you have to have somebody that sponsors you and all that kind of thing. And then they vote on whether or not you can be part of the church. I've never found that in the Bible anywhere. Okay? Because the church is not a social club. Okay? The church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
And it is made up of those who have accepted Christ, recognizing and acknowledging their sin, having those sins washed away, and are added to the Lord's church. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's no voting on that. You know, nobody gets to vote and decide whether, well, you know, yeah, I think you make a good church member, so we'll accept you. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay? Because a church is not a social club. All right? We talked about this a little bit last time. All right? The church being what? The called ones. All right? It is the body of Christ. Well, how does that sinner, that person who recognizes and acknowledges their sinfulness and that they are separated from God by their sin, how do they become a part of that body? All right? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, we looked at this passage in an earlier part of our study. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. See? We're baptized into one body. For those folks who are out here teaching that baptism is not necessary for salvation, how do you explain that? If being saved, okay, is a matter of being part of the body of Christ, when you are saved, you're added to the body of Christ. And Paul here says we were baptized into that body, then how can baptism not be essential or necessary for our salvation? I don't know of another way that the Bible tells us you're going to get into the body. And we talked about in our previous study about how are we saved and all the things that are involved in it. Again, not that baptism is the most important thing. They're all important. Okay? Believing and repenting and confessing and calling upon the name of the Lord, all of those are part of that process. But when a person is baptized into Christ, okay, as we talked about earlier, that is the marriage ceremony, so to speak, that marries them to Christ, all right? In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, for all of you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There it is again. Okay? When you're baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. And then he makes sure that we understand there's no distinction between people. Okay? Neither Jews nor Greeks, neither slave or free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. All of you are Christ. Then you are Abraham's seed. If you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So this is a matter of being a part of Christ or of his body, as we've been saying all along, you see? All right? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Romans 6 and verse 3. Okay? We're baptized into Christ or into his body. All right? And then in Colossians chapter 2, in this passage we looked at in the previous part of our study, he says, In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, By the circumcision of Christ, okay? Get this thing to work here. And how is that circumcision of Christ done? He says, having been buried with him in baptism. And so we talked about this before in that circumcision under the law of Moses and even before Moses, under Abraham, the promise God made to him. Circumcision was the sign of the covenant that God made with his people.
Amen.
Okay? That was the physical circumcision. Now, under Christ, we have the spiritual circumcision. And that is the sign of the covenant between us and God. And what is that circumcision? Paul here identifies it as baptism. Okay? And so, there is that sinner. Okay? Who desires to be part of the body of Christ. Okay? That person believes that Jesus is the Son of God and recognizes that their sins are what separated them from God. And they repent of those sins. They call upon Jesus as their Lord. Recognize him as such. And have those sins that are separating them from God washed away in the waters of baptism, they become part of the body of Christ. They are added to the number. See? So, again, how do we join the church? You don't. You're added to the Lord's church when you give your life to Christ. Okay? So I hope that that clears up any question or confusion that anybody might have had about this idea of how does one get into the church and joining it, that we recognize and understand that, again, it's not a social club. It is the body of Christ. And one is added to it when they give their life to Christ. And so, we come to the point where we have an invitation. Wesley has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And so, if there's anybody here who you see yourself outside of the body of Christ, that you are still separated from God by your sin, you have not had those sins washed away, I'm here to tell you this morning, you have the opportunity to do that right now. To become a part of the body of Christ, to be added to the number of those who are saved. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. We have water right here ready for us, don't we, Chuck? Water's ready? Okay, it's warm. It's warm. We want it to be cold on a hot day like this. But it's water nonetheless, and you can be baptized into Christ right now. All you got to do is let us know that's what you want to do. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if there's someone out there, if you have any kind of a prayer request that you would like us to address, you can text Wesley during this, and he'll get it, and then we'll address it after the song is over. But it's more importantly, if there's someone out there who's not yet a Christian and you want to give your life to Christ, you're ready to be added to the Lord's church, you can do that as soon as is possible with you. Again, all you've got to do is contact us, let us know, and we will get with you and make that happen as soon as is possible for you. For anyone that we might be able to help with that's here, if you have a prayer request or a need that you would like us to address, all you got to do is come up and let me know. Let's stand together and sing. Wesley, come on up.